My privilege to be here. I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed the preaching. I didn't do all the preaching, which is a blessing. And what a fine message. Thank you so much. That was a very clear, precise, well done message on invitation. Thank you. Do you mind if I use that? Never mind. It's very good. I really appreciated your pastor this week. I've gotten to know him, and I know why you love him. You have a fine man of God here, and we praise the Lord for that. We are so thankful for the privilege of being here. Janine and I want to thank the church and thank everybody for your fine hospitality. I'm thankful for the fellowship. There's been some new friendships made, some old friendships grown. I hopefully no enemies made, but it's been a great time. I really appreciate it. Take your Bible tonight, if you would, and turn to 2 Timothy again. We started on Monday night with talking about the big picture. Now I want to just really talk about the negativity of what's going on out there today. Because it's all over, isn't it? And he talks about it in 2 Timothy as Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, about the negativity that's out there. And one of the things he says as he's writing to Timothy is in verse 5, he wants Timothy to imagine or to start with an understanding that Paul says, I know you have a real faith in Jesus Christ. An unfeigned faith. You're sincere, you're real. And I know you have that. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also, I'm convinced you have it. And he's starting off in his description here, I'm convinced you're saved, I'm convinced you have this relationship with God. And even though there's tears, even though there's struggles, because he talked about this in the verse before, the last time we were together, I'm mindful of your tears. I remember when my dad passed away in 2010, 2009, the fall of 2009, he started having some severe struggles. He'd had 13 strokes before he passed away. And we lost him inch by inch, is the way my mother put it. And it was over a period of 13 years. And so we had a lot of time to prepare. And you know what? The influence that my dad was on me and the family and the patriarch that he was, I think we needed that 13 years to be prepared and to be willing to say, it's okay, Lord, take my dad. And God gave us that. But before he passed away in September of the year before, I remember he was having a very tough time, and I was supposed to go back out on the road, and Janine and I went over the house to visit with him again before we left. And I said to Dad, Dad, I don't know if I'll see you again here on this earth. And my dad, being the guy he was, he said, oh, yes, you will. As best he could talk at that point. And I should have listened to him. But I remember walking out of the house weeping, knowing that might have been the last time I saw him on this earth. But you know what? He was right. I got home. And matter of fact, I got to go on another trip. And same scenario over again. I don't know if I'll... And I came home, and sure enough, he was still there. But I came to the end of my meetings for the fall, and usually over Thanksgiving and between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I may have one or two, but I don't usually have a lot of meetings in that point. So I stay home, and I'm active in our home church and had the privilege of doing a lot of different things. Well, Dad was still alive in November, and Dad was still alive in December, and we spent Christmas together. And we spent New Year's together. And then on January 8th, my dad went to be with the Lord. You know, that was God's grace to me. But I understand the tears of Timothy in verse 4, you know. Because every time I see you, Paul, I don't know if this is the last time I'm going to see you. You're in prison, now your sentence of death is on your life, and that's why the tears are there. But as he's dealing with these emotions, as he's dealing with these things in his life, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, I'm convinced you're saved. You have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And he immediately focuses him on that relationship with Christ as he starts this book. I'm convinced of that. Then he comes to verse 7 and he simply says this. Why do we keep going? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Timothy, there's unseen things ahead. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how bad it's going to get. I don't know how bad it's going to get. I know that my death is at hand. I don't know when it's going to happen, but God's not given us the spirit of fear of the unknown. He's not given us a spirit of fear of what's ahead. He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And he brings him to the next verse and he says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Because this is not in the imperative. It's not a command. This is more of the type of a statement where he says, when it comes and this temptation is going to come, beware. Don't go there. There's no reason for you to be ashamed. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in what you know. And he goes on and he talks about the testimony of his salvation. He talks about who he is. And so when this comes in your life, and it comes for all of us, I like to use the word embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed about Jesus Christ. I don't care how much this world's putting down Christians today. Don't be embarrassed that you have a relationship with God. Stand up. It's difficult, yes. Persecution is coming, yes. Things are getting worse, yes. But don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his servants. I remember, and you've probably been there too, somebody brings up the Lord in an awkward situation. You know, and for some people, it's awkward when somebody's always talking about the Lord, and they're just awkward to be around, right? Well, that's what he's talking about. Don't be embarrassed about the Lord. Talk about him all the time. This is the day the Lord's made. You know, beautiful sunshine the Lord gave us today. Did you catch it? It was, I think, 3 or 4 minutes in the afternoon, wasn't it? No, it was a beautiful day, wasn't it? I enjoyed today. You know, we get embarrassed of people. I mean, that guy's a fanatic. He's always talking about the Lord. I remember one of my buddies told me years ago, he said, when I first met you, I thought you were weird. You were strange. You were different than anything I know. Because you were always talking about God. And he said, we'd go out in the mountains for a little bit. And you always wanted to pray before we went. You always wanted to pray about the trip. And he said, after I got saved, after I started walking with the Lord, I understood what that was all about. But he said, I thought you were just strange. I was, as a matter of fact, kind of hoping nobody else was watching us. Embarrassed. Well, you know, there's that tendency, isn't there? We have to be careful because these things are coming at us. And he goes on, and we saw as we were looking at the big picture, as we took a general survey of 2 Timothy, we can go back today and look at the things that are out there that are coming at us that we're not sure about. We don't know how bad it's going to get. We don't know what's coming next. But Paul says, I'm confident. I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. I know whom I have believed, and I'm not ashamed. I have committed to him, and I know he's able to keep everything I've given him. My life, my all, is in his hands. I'm committed. I'm convinced. I'm not embarrassed about it. I'm going to walk with him. And then he talked about, and we saw on Monday night that these things thou knowest in verse 15, that they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Rejection, even by people who should be with you. But yet they've turned away from you. And then he goes on in chapter 2, and we saw about the bonds, and then we saw also in chapter 2, he says in verse 11, it says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And then he goes on and he says, as he's suffering for the elect's sake, as he says in verse 10, I endure all things, I go through, I struggle with. Why? Because there's a purpose greater than me in it. And then he goes on and he talks about that false teaching that's come out, those that strive about words to no profit in verse 14, their canker that these words bring in verse 17. And then he talks about the truth, who concerning the truth have erred. There's false teaching out there. There's all sorts of stuff going around. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord stands sure. There was that big picture again. And he goes on and he talks about foolish and unlearned questions. Avoid in verse 23, knowing that they gender strife. And verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves. People ask, is this Christians or unsaved? And I say, I really have to believe it's Christians, because the unsaved do not oppose themselves. They cannot live contrary to who they are. They live who they are. So I really believe he's talking to Christians. And he goes on and he says, if peradventure God will give them repentance. Wow, that's a scary thing. I take these kinds of things very, very serious in my life, because there is that point where a believer can come where God says, I'm going to set you on the shelf. You're going to live out your life. You're just simply going to exist, and you're not going to experience the blessedness of walking with me. I really believe that a believer can get to that point. There are many things in Hebrews that would say that. There's things even in John 15 that would say that. You have to study it out for yourself, but that's where I've come to, because I really believe, verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The unsaved are already his. Aren't they? These are ones that he's seeking to devour. Who's that? Saved. These are serious warnings. Then he goes to chapter 3 and he says this, this know also, Timothy, I want to encourage you, right? That in the last days perilous times shall come. I'm trying to help you out, Timothy. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers. Are you getting encouraged yet, Timothy? Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That ought to help you out, Timothy. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of thereof. From such turn away. Don't even have fellowship with them. Stay away from them. They're not going the direction you're going. And then he goes on and he says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Verse 10, I think Paul's just simply giving an overview of his life, and you don't see anything negative in this passage about himself. He goes on and he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Some would even say he was bragging. He was simply stating the truth. Timothy, you've seen my life. You've known my teaching. You've known my doctrine. You've known my manner of life. You've known how I've lived. You've known my purpose, the drive of my heart. What it is that I'm motivated to do and why and how that motivation works itself out. You've known my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my love. You've known my patience. You've known my persecution. You've known my afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. But out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. Yea, let me encourage you, Timothy, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Sign me up. I'm encouraged. Well, he goes on. I mean, this is not just, he's not done yet. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Call me a pessimist, but I think that's kind of a bad scenario here, don't you? I really believe sometimes we think we're the only ones that have it rough. And we do. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. And you may be going through some hard times. You may be suffering some persecution. There may be somebody that is out to get you. I remember I had a deacon come to me one time and he said, you know, so-and-so in the business meeting tonight was out to get you. And I'm kind of naive. I said, I didn't even notice. Well, they were questioning such and such and such and such, and that was really kind of out to get you. And I said, well, I didn't see it that way. I thought they just had some questions, and we just needed to answer them, and we did. But they saw it for what it was. That person came to me years later after we had left the church and gone into other ministry, and I happened to be able to do the mother of the family's funeral. That's called to do that years later. And this particular person came up to me and apologized. When you were pastor, I did not respect you. And that disrespect is borne out in the life of my children. And I'm sorry. Wow. Well, how do we deal with things? I really appreciate Paul giving such a strong, positive scenario of how we want people to get into the ministry, how we want people to be viewed in the ministry, and the encouragement that it is of what you're going to see in the days ahead. What's coming? You know what he does? He finishes it. He answers all of it. Next. He says it right here in verse 14. Here is how you and I should live in light of whatever situation, whatever persecution, however bad it gets, whatever difficulties come, all the things that are out there. This is what you and I need. He says it in verse 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I love this passage because he points them back to Scripture, but he also says, what have you learned? What do you know for sure? And there are many things, as you start studying Scripture, that Paul says, these are things we know for sure. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, even in this book, and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. He points out that the Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Do you know for sure you have God's salvation? I know for sure that no matter what happens in this life, no matter how bad it gets, no matter if I lose my life on this earth, I will be with the Lord. What more positive thing could you have when you're facing anything that would come at us in this lifetime on this earth? There is a strength that comes out of having security of a relationship and a security of your eternity with the Lord. Nobody can take that from you. Nothing can take that from you. No matter what you face, no matter what's ahead, no matter how bad it gets, nothing can take that assurance in your own heart away from you. Because it's not based on you, it's based on Him. He's able to keep me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And so shall I ever be with the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of like feel like looking at the enemy and going, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm fine. I know where I'm going. I know what's ahead. What do I know for sure? I know I'm His and He is mine. And I know He'll never leave me or forsake me. Praise the Lord for what we know and have been assured of. Continue in what you know, not in what you don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. When Chris came home from the doctor, he said several things. He said, Mom and Dad and his family were all there, myself and Janine and his family. He said, I know what's going to happen. I am going to be with the Lord. Just a matter of when. None of us knew it was going to be that soon, but we knew it was coming. And he said, you guys are going to be on this earth. You have to deal with it still. You have to deal with me being gone. But he came home with an assurance when he was facing death by cancer that is incurable. It was going to take him no matter what. I am confident in my God. I am going to be with the Lord. And when he stood in the pulpit and preached on September 6th, he said, you're all going to die too. I just know when. Soon. Wow. What confidence! No matter what we have in the face or facing in the future. What strength it gives us. Continue in what you know. And you've been assured of. And you go right immediately to the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You have Jesus Christ. I think of some of the other things I know. Not only do I know that I'm going to be with the Lord, not only do I know that He'll never leave me nor forsake me, but Paul's written there several other things that you know for absolutely sure. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. You know this one probably if you've been a Christian very long. And if you've been a Christian very long, you've probably found comfort in it, just like we're going to again tonight. Romans chapter 8, look with me if you would. I love how Paul says it. Verse 38. For I am persuaded, I am convinced, you can't tell me otherwise. This is the way it is. And he makes a list that neither death, that's the very first thing he lists. Passing from this life into eternity will not separate me from the love of God. Death nor life. What's ahead? I don't know. How bad's it going to get? I wish I could tell you. I really like David in the Old Testament. He had 600 faithful men, followed him all around. He was a leader of leaders. I mean, I like the way his leadership style was. Here's David out in the desert. He's got 600 men that wouldn't follow hardly anybody, but yet they're committed to David. Even will go get water for him at great peril to their own lives. I mean, just these are men that just love him and are going to follow him wherever he goes. And I just can imagine him saying, "Hey, David, you're our leader. How long are we going to do this?" "I don't know." "Where are we going next?" "Wish I could tell you." "Do you think this is going to end soon?" "I'm not sure." Decisive leader that he was. But yet these faithful men followed him. I think they saw his heart. I really do. They had a heart after God. Folks, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen in the next election. We don't know how much persecution is going to come to us in the United States for standing up for Jesus Christ. We don't know if what's happening overseas is going to come here. We have no clue what's going to happen. But I am assured of this, that in this life, nothing will separate me from the love of God. Then he goes on and he says this, "Neither angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What do I know for sure? I'm loved. And I will never be separated from that love. What confidence that brings! I love what he says in Ephesians chapter 1. "I've been made accepted in the Beloved. Not only am I loved, but I'm accepted." How many places do you find that acceptance? We have difficulty sometimes even accepting each other. Wow. But in Him I'm accepted. What confidence. What strength. Continue in what you know and you've been assured of. Who's given you these things? Continue in what you know. I know in 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Why? "Because you know your labor in the Lord is not a waste." Even though it may seem like it at times. I'm just wasting my time here. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever wondered that? When it comes to points of discouragement. No, your labor in the Lord is not a waste. It's not in vain. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. I love those two words. There's different concepts to both of those words. They're not the same type of an idea. And I appreciate them. I'm not going to go into it tonight for time, but this is what I know. My labor in the Lord is not a waste. It's not in vain. Is it a waste of time to read His Word? Is it a waste of time to pray? Is it a waste of time to talk to others about the Lord? Is it a waste of time to study? Is it a waste of time to spend in meditation? Is it a waste of time to give over to attendance to reading and doctrine and all the other things He says? It's not a waste. I know that. What do I know for sure? These are things I know for sure. You've seen my life, Timothy. You've seen all the things that I've done. Now, as you proceed on in your life, continue in what you know and you've been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. Go back, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. He points him immediately to the Scriptures, doesn't he? Verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." What do you know, Timothy? What are you sure about? This is the Word of God. And it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and an instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Before he gives him the pastoral theology of what his life should be about, he says, Timothy, continue in what you know and you've been assured of. Because that will make it, when you come to chapter 4, verse 1, to my next thought, I charge you, Timothy, because of what you know and what you've been assured of, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. I grew up in Wyoming. When I was a little boy, all I knew was hunting season, when it was and when it wasn't. I seriously, in grade school, thought that's what he was talking about here. When it's hunting season and when it's not. I've progressed in my understanding. I believe now it's fishing season. No. When it's convenient and when it's not. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Why? Because you're not coming at this from a position of, I don't know how this is all going to work. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to listen. I don't know what. No, I am confident. I am secure in my position in Christ. I know what I have believed, and I know whom I've committed my life and everything to, and I know these things for sure, and I've been assured of them. I'm going to continue on in them. I don't care what happens around me. I don't care who does what to me. I'm going to stand for what is right. I'm going to walk in the right paths that God would set before me. And I'm going to see God work in me and through me in no matter what comes in my lifetime. I know that in my life that has been an encouragement to me, because sometimes I just soon rather go find that little cabin in the mountains and get out my fly rod and go fishing. Sometimes when I run up against controversy, I just soon leave. It's obvious you don't want me around. But that's not what it's about. I know better than that. Stand, therefore. Put on the armor of God. And having done all, stand. Confident. Because you know the truth. Confident that you know these things. And I'm going to continue on what I know and I've been assured of. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Nobody's going to change that. No matter what they say, no matter what they do. I'm assured of heaven. I've been promised it. And so shall I ever be with the Lord. I know He will never leave me nor forsake me, no matter how hard it gets. No matter how dark it may seem, He will always be there with me. I know that in the midst of the worst circumstances, that I, whether anybody loves me or not, am loved by my God. What else do I need? I don't need men's approval then. I already have it from the Creator. Don't I? So I don't speak for men's approval. I don't seek men's approval. I already have it from God. And those that love my Lord and I share my God with them are going to love it too. Because that's what it's all about. Him. I'm already secure. Because I've been accepted by the Beloved. Nothing's going to change that. It wasn't because I've already figured it all out. Now I'm acceptable to Him. I'm working and walking and acting perfect. No. That acceptance came by the grace of God into my life. I may not be pleasing because of some of the things I may be doing. If you and I walk in sin, we're not pleasing to the Lord. But it doesn't change our status before our God. We've already been made accepted in the Beloved by His grace. We may not be pleasing in that. If we walk in sin. But I have been accepted. I will not be rejected by God. I may be rejected by those around me, but I'll never be rejected by God. Just share something on a side note. When we would discipline the boys when they were younger, we always took them into their room and we would talk to them. Our oldest said a while back, he said, you know, we'd rather have Dad spank us than have him talk to us. I would always say this, one of the things I always said, sons, I'm always going to love you and nothing is going to stop that. You'll always be my son. And I'll always want you to be my son. But right now I'm not pleased with your behavior. And I helped them to understand the difference. They lived a life where they've understood they've been accepted in the Beloved. It's been easy for them to accept God's love and His acceptance of them. And the difference between being pleasing and not pleasing to the Lord. They understand the difference. Some people don't get that. And I'm sorry. It's one of the things I put in the discipleship book because it's important that new believers understand that. Sometimes they live their life always seeking God's acceptance. We're already made accepted in the Beloved. Now you can be pleasing to Him by how you walk. And we ought to want to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That relationship ought to give you that desire that you want to please Him. So you walk by faith. Wow, I know I'm accepted in the Beloved. Nothing will change that. I know His Word and I can have confidence in it. It is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It will do what He says it will do. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for rebuke, correction, instruction in righteousness. All these things are there. And I need to be one person who preaches the Word without a shame. Without embarrassment. Because it's God's Word. It's God's doctrine. It's what God says. It's going to get worse. I thought maybe I would want to be a preacher of doom. You know, there are those out there that just like to be preachers of doom, don't they? Yeah, it's going to get worse. But what are we just supposed to do when it does? Just continue in what you know and you've been assured of. Your salvation. The Word of God. He'll always be with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You have His love and acceptance. You can preach the Word. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Share the Word with others around you. It's not a waste to walk with your God and do what God leads you to do every day of your life. And He will lead you in the paths of righteousness because His name's on the line. For His name's sake. He'll do it. And it'll be right. God knows how to do that. What do you know? What have you been assured of? Continue in what you know, no matter how bad it gets. I hope and pray you will. If you've been discouraged, if you've been struggling, I encourage you. Start thinking about, what do you know for sure? What do I know for sure? Okay? I guess those other things don't really matter as much as I thought they did. That are causing me all this frustration, that are causing me all this anxiety. Because I know for sure, nothing shall separate me from my God. And He's always with me, and He'll never forsake me. Therefore, I go on in confidence, not in myself, but in my God. Confidence in Him, and in His power, and His might. And nobody can take it away from you because it's in your God and it's placed where it should be placed. Even when things get worse. Oh, Timothy, let me encourage you. Latter days, these things are going to get worse and evil men are going to get worse and all that are going to live godly shall suffer persecution. Let me encourage you. Continue in what you know. I hope and pray you will. We need it. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I really believe this is a great way to end the conference. Be strong in your God. What do you know for sure? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the beauty of it. How you just make this stuff flow together. And Lord, it's just encouraging. It just focuses us on you and your word. It puts our hearts where they should be. You encourage us. You help us. You guide us. You direct us. Our confidence is in you, Lord. We have your salvation when we by faith have trusted Christ as our personal Savior. We've entered into a relationship that will never be taken away. Thank you, God. We've been made accepted in the Beloved by your grace. Your mercy to us. You're working. You're doing. And Lord, we know that nothing will separate us from your love. And Lord, we've literally seen it. Even in death. God, you're good. We thank you for that. We know that. May we walk. May we continue on in the things we know and we've been assured of already. And not forget them. But go in confidence, ministering as you work in us and through us. And Lord, you'll bring the fruit. You'll bring the work ahead that we should do and where we should go and what we should be. God, you'll guide every step that you have us here on this earth. And we have confidence in you that you'll do it. Because we know you. Thank you, God. Work in hearts tonight. If there's some encouragement that needs to happen. Lord, if there's some change that needs to happen. Lord, work in hearts as only you can. And Lord, I pray that your people just be real and honest before you. And Lord, that's the only way we can be. Because that's where we'll experience that which you want for us. That's where we'll understand what it means to continue on in what we know and have been assured of. As we're real and sincere and honest before God, you'll work in our hearts. Convict of sin. If there's things that are set aside that need to be set aside, weights that come into our life, whatever it is, Lord, may we totally, 100% be surrendered to you in every area. Lord, may we be pleasing to you because we're walking with you, dealing with sin as you reveal it to us. And then, Lord, you'll work through us for your honor and glory, and we will accomplish and see fruit. And fruit not only just that comes here, but remains. Because it comes from you. Again, to you be the glory, for it's you working in us and through us. And there's no place else the glory can go. Thank you for the privilege it is to know you, to walk with you, to live in this life on this earth for you, and to see and know that one day we'll be with you forever. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise and glory in our wonderful Savior's name. Amen.